Again, may I say, it is our sincere desire to so give the Word of God that there will be created in your heart a real hunger and desire to read the Word of God. Get to know your Savior, if you love Him, to read about Him, to become established in the wonderful truths of God. And we want you to fall in love with Him. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a matchless Lord. Now we've been discussing together for 2 or 3 weeks. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're dealing with the 4 Gospels. And today I would like to start to give you a brief resume of the Gospel through John. And you remember in Matthew's Gospel, the great issue was, is Jesus of Nazareth the Messiah? Now when we come to John, the issue is this Jesus of Nazareth the Son of God? Here we are living, I say, in a day of secularism, of cold indifference. People are living just for the moment. They have no hope for the future. And I raise the question, what is your relationship to Jesus, the Son of God? Now, when you come to John's Gospel, we have this great question before us. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9, we read, "Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God." If Jesus is of Nazareth is not God, then we have no Savior. We have no revelation of the heart of God. What can we do then to know God? If He's not God, where can we find hope for eternal life? And one could raise many questions. You see, this is the great issue. Christianity is built upon Jesus of Nazareth being the Son of God. Peter declares it when he stood on the day of Pentecost and preached before the people of Israel. In verses 22:1, we read, he said, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and signs and wonders which God did by him in the midst of you, whom yourselves also know. And God raised him from the dead." God vindicated Jesus of Nazareth by resurrection. The Apostle Paul makes the same statements. In fact, if you go to Colossians 1 and Hebrews 1 and Philippians 2, you'll find that the Apostle Paul bases all his doctrine upon the fact that Jesus of Nazareth was God. Indeed, I would tell you very frankly that the Pauline epistles break down if Jesus of Nazareth is not God. Or take John the Apostle could say, "We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father." And if I might read the first 3 verses of the Epistle of John, you'll find that all John's writings are dependent upon the answer of this question. Is Jesus of Nazareth the Son of God? And these men base their writings, the whole New Testament is based on this fact, that Jesus of Nazareth is God manifest in the flesh. Let me read what John says. I'm reading from the Epistle of John. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Now there's no question that Peter and Paul and John, in writing their epistles, base it upon the fact that Jesus of Nazareth is none other than the Son of God. Take, for example, Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, where he talks about the fact that our Savior was born of the seed of David. He was a real man in the flesh. And then we read in the 4th verse, he was declared the Son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Or, if I may give you a revised of that fourth verse, he was declared or marked out from everybody else as the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Again, may I suggest, and I don't mind repeating things, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he vindicated the very character of God. When he was raised from the dead, God vindicated this one, Jesus of Nazareth, and declared him to be his son, and that his work on the cross perfectly satisfied him. This is what the resurrection means. It's God vindicating his son by resurrection. And I say the whole basis and foundation of Christianity falls to the ground if Jesus of Nazareth is not God manifest in the flesh. So we come into the gospel through John. And I'd like to continue on this question just for the sake of raising the issue with you so you may read the gospel through John as often as you can. John is very corrective in his writings, whether in the gospel or in the epistles. You see, in John's day, the Gnostic heresy, which declared that Jesus Christ was not God, but was an emanation from God, he was a created being, a man, and John withstands this Gnostic heresy by writing the gospel through John. It was one of the last books written. He didn't write to imitate Matthew, Mark, or Luke. He wrote for a purpose, as we shall see. And the great question then, and the great question now, is the same question. Is this Jesus of Nazareth God manifest in the flesh? As I read the gospel through Matthew, if I may refresh your memory again, Matthew's gospel, he's the Messiah. He proves this. He has his legal right to the throne, his moral right to the throne, his prophetical right to the throne, and so on. He proves, he presents his credentials. He's the Messiah of Israel. But John comes along to undergird his people, the God's people, on the ground that this Jesus is very God. How does John start? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. In John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. In verse 18 of the first chapter, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. I tell you, this is a wonderful thing. And John goes on to say, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which our hands have handled, of the word of life. And the life was made manifest, and we have seen and declare unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. And that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship, our partnership, our oneness in life is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. You see, the God of glory appeared unto Abram, and he obeyed. Samuel could say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Isaiah could say, here am I, Lord, send me. And the Apostle Paul could say, what will you have me to do? What are you going to say? Have you met him? Have you met him? Now, this is the great purpose of the writing of the gospel through John. Indeed, if you go to chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John says, these things have I written unto you, that ye may know what? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You might have life in his name. John chapter 20, verse 31, if I may read that for you, as it's given to us here, and I'm reading from the King James Version. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So the Gospel of John was written that you might know that this Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of God. And that the only way you'll ever have life is in him. Indeed, the key verse is in chapter 1, verse 4, in him is life. Will you remember this? This Gospel through John is written that you might have life. To have the Son of God means life. Not to have the Son of God means not to have life. Do you mean to tell me, sir, that the difference between life and death is Jesus Christ? That's exactly what I'm saying. The Bible says, he that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. This is what the Bible says. And friend, if you have taken Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, then you have life, eternal life. If you reject him, if you're indifferent to him, if you spurn him, there's nothing left but death. And I would urge upon you today to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. And wonder of wonders, he can be yours today. Trust him and pass from death to life.